All right, great. So welcome. We're going to get started. This is BRK3213, Learn How to Deploy and Manage Microsoft Cloud App Security. So hopefully everybody's here for that. My name is Asaf Kashi. I'm a Group Program Manager on the Cloud App Security Engineering team. And my colleague, Yinon Costigan, is going to introduce himself. We're going to share the stage today, although I think I'm going to have all the cool stuff done by Yinon. So overall today, since this is a deployment session and a pretty high-level one, we're going to focus a lot on demos and hands-on. So this should be pretty cool. I'm only going to take a few minutes to talk about some of the high-level landscape, the market, where the solution fits in. So only a few slides that way. And then we're going to dive into slide demo. So we're going to go pretty fast, and it's fully packed. Feel free to raise your hand throughout, and we'll take some questions throughout. If a question seems a little too complex or something that we were going to hit at the session anyways, we're going to defer it to later. And both of us are in the booth later, and as everyone else is in the team. All right, so let's start with the security landscape. So as many of you probably know, the security landscape has changed. And let me add some of the animations right in there. There we go. So when you think about the security landscape today, and we're going to go from left to right, think about the identities today, where the identities are. If you're an on-prem customer, you're used to having Active Directory or another solution on-prem. And the reality is that most of these identities are going to the cloud one way or another. You might be cloud-only already, or more likely, you're probably a hybrid. You've moved a lot of your identities. You've moved some of your workloads to the cloud. The landscape of devices today has been changing. Users are bringing their own devices. Users are dictating, quote unquote, what they would like the IT to support. So there's a lot of consumer-based drive to the functionality, the devices, where they're going to access it. That network perimeter is no longer the boundary that you must protect. Your network perimeter might all of a sudden start to include the local Starbucks, where the user's own iPhone is the device that they're going to use with that new cloud identity. So add all of those together, and what you see is that the current defenses, the current way that we think about protecting our information and our tenants is no longer sufficient. So where does Microsoft come into this? So if you've been here all week, which is probably all of you, hopefully, you've seen a lot of different solutions talked about. When we focus on the Enterprise Mobility and Security Suite, that EMS suite, whether it's you've heard it from a licensing perspective or you've heard it as the packaging of products, you can think of the various applications, the various solutions that we provide. This is where Cloud App Security sits in. So if you look on the right, we'll start from the right column there, and then we'll walk across all of the other solutions in this set. You see Cloud App Security is a member of Enterprise Mobility and Security. And Cloud App Security is all about giving you visibility and control into those applications, those SaaS applications that your users are using. Whether you're aware of it, whether it's something that you intended them to use, or whether it's an application that they've chosen to use and it so happens to be the traffic that's running on your network. Now, when we think of the Enterprise Mobility and Security Suite, we want to have a complete set of controls. So when you start on the left side here, you have Identity and Access Management. Pretty much everybody knows Azure Active Directory as a way to manage the identities, federate those identities between various applications, and give you control at that top control plane level of the identities. When we go beyond that, we add some advanced threat analytics. So we add a lot of behavioral analysis around what are the users doing. This is, again, allows you to look at the logs, look at those server logs right on-prem, understand what are the threat vectors that you're being potentially attacked, or what are your users doing that might be compromising your own environment. And then when we go beyond that control plane, we start getting into the device control plane. And this is where Intune plays into that field, where you've got device management, application management, whether it's MDM or MAM, and so forth. There's plenty of sessions on that this week. Finally, you've got the information protection around the data. And this is where that data control plane comes in. So not only are we securing at the identity level, at the device level, the application level, we're also giving you controls and visibility into the actual data in case that data leaves all of those other control planes. It leaves your organization. It leaves your applications and so forth. So this is the entire EMS suite from a security perspective. Jumping into our solution, the Microsoft Cloud App Security. Many of you are aware that Microsoft purchased a company called Adalom, and this is what the Cloud App Security, CAS, is based on. We are a cross-SaaS solution, so this is not a Microsoft-only stack. We work against many other identity providers. We work against many other cloud applications. You can see a variety of ServiceNow, Salesforce, Google Apps, et cetera. There are any cloud application out there. We have a discovery catalog of over 13,000 different cloud applications, and we have connector APIs to many of the top cloud applications out there. And again, the idea is to bring that visibility so you can see what is happening, and then you can decide how much control you want to assert across your own organization. As far as licensing, this is a premium value product. It is available currently as a standalone license, the Cloud App Security license that you can add on to anything that you currently own, as well as of this weekend, it'll be October 1st, the EMS E5 license, or the EMS premium license. It's also, I believe, in the full bundle of SPE, which has everything that Microsoft is putting together in the premium SKUs. So what does the product allow you to do? If you look at the top right question about shadow IT, shadow IT is the fact that while you've rolled out a number of different solutions to your users and you've instructed them how to use those, they may not only be staying in that space. This is where the sanctioned versus unsanctioned applications. Let's say you've rolled out OneDrive for your users, and you've sanctioned that. That is your sanctioned application. That is the application that you've taught them to use. They might still be using Box, Dropbox, personal, business. There might be other things in the company that are happening. This is where Cloud App Security is able to help you with our discovery functionality, and you'll see this in our demos today, where we're able to show you where is that traffic going, how much of that traffic is going there, what are those applications, are they risky, are they not risky? We have an entire set of folks, data scientists, that are analyzing cloud applications and rating them based on a standardized set of risk factors, where we're taking that work ourselves and are able to manage that for the entire catalog. So we can tell you this application is more risky than that application based on these criteria. And again, we'll show that when we get into the product. As I move across over to access control, now I'm talking about once I'm sanctioning applications, I can now apply different controls to them. I can basically say, hey, this employee is downloading sensitive data or customer details from an unmanaged machine or from a location they don't normally do it. Maybe I want to control their identity at that point. Maybe I want to limit it, still allow them access, but potentially limit that. So in those terms, you might be aware of this as a proxy experience or an in-session control experience. All those terms in the industry fall under that access control capability. Bottom right, we've got data protection. As I've mentioned, we've got a number of data protection technologies at Microsoft, whether it's RMS or the new Azure IP based on the Secure Islands acquisition, allows you to classify the content, which gives us an understanding of, is a file sensitive? Is it sensitive to you as a specific customer versus another customer? That can be regulatory or based on the IP of your company. We're integrating with those technologies. Some of those have already been announced and rolled out in both demos and full GA, where you can detect those. You can take action on in a different way between a file that is sensitive versus a file that is not sensitive. And then finally, there's threat prevention on the bottom left. And this is kind of a bucket where you can say there's a number of different technologies, a number of different ways to alert based on activities, based on anomalies. When you turn on cloud application security and you upload your logs, we're able to create a baseline over a number of days where we will now start monitoring for what is normal for your organization as well as what is anomalous behavior. So we can, without you having to create specific policies, we're able to create and detect those anomalies for your organization and allow you to take action there. So as you think of everything that I've just told you, the complete framework to basically secure your applications is right in there. If you go again from left to right, you can see on the bottom that framework of discovery, of investigation, understanding those alerts, applying some controls, and then finally protecting the information, protecting your users. And the pieces in the product that do that, right above it, you've got a cloud discovery piece that will allow you to see all of that shadow IT, see all of those, all of the traffic in your organization. What are those applications? You have information protection, the ability to connect to all those data control points. You have threat prevention to do the anomaly detection, to understand the baselines, what is normal. Do my admins log in from one location all the time, and anytime they log in from somewhere else, that is an anomaly. That's one of the examples. And then finally, we're going to see some in-session control. How do we take action in real time? Not only are we going to disable an account, but we're able to take action within a particular session. So as I promised, we're going to move to the demo part of this session. So that's all the market and marketing type of information you have out there. Hopefully everybody's caught up with me. I'll bring Yanon up here, and he's going to cover in two large sessions, he's going to cover how do we set it up and how do we manage it on a day-to-day. Yanon?
Great, thank you. So I'm Yanon Kostika. I came from the original Adenom acquisition. I was running product management, and now I run product management for Cloud App Security. In this session, we will do guided deployment from the basics and to how to manage your Cloud App Security environment. We will start with the basics. Cloud App Security is extremely easy to deploy. It's a self-served CASB, the only one out there in the market, that you can spin off a trial yourself now and deploy it in four simple steps. Create a trial, upload discovery logs, start your discovery process, connect a sanctioned application, and then configure initial policies. We have prepared a guide that will walk you step by step using this short link, akms/CAS-hands-on. You can go and download this link, and you will have a complete guide on how to do it step by step. I will follow this guide today until we deploy all of the basic steps, and then we will go into the in-depth scenarios as well. So, first step. Before this first step, let's discuss on the architecture and how it works. So Cloud App Security is completely out of band. It means that you do not need to put anything in line as part of the first steps that I mentioned. It means that your employees will have zero effects on their productivity and experience after you deploy this Cloud App Security. We have two main connectors. The first connector, first data source, is based on your firewalls and network appliances. We support all of the major network appliances in the market today, and we read the logs, the traffic logs from these appliances, and then we push them into Cloud App Security and analyze them. This is a very simple step that allows you to leverage any logging functionality from your network appliances or from your SIEM or from another source where you funnel all your logs to. And again, out of band allows you to upload it to Cloud App Security and get full visibility into these networks. So this is the first data source. The second data source is the API. APIs allows us to connect to your cloud applications without being in the middle of the traffic from your users to that cloud application. It allows us to, with a single click, and we will see it in the demo, to have full visibility into your cloud applications wherever they are being accessed. So if you're having users remotely from mobile devices, from managed devices, unmanaged devices, from browser or mobile apps, it doesn't matter. We will see using these APIs what's happening on your entire instance, and we will give you this visibility and control point. So this is a second connector. And again, I didn't say it in the earlier when I started, but if you have any question, please feel free to raise your hand and I'll be very happy to take it throughout the session. Great. So, any question on the architecture? Perfect. So let's start with creating a trial tenant. Again, free 30 days trial. You just go to cloudupsecurity.com, sign up for a trial. You can either spin off a new tenant or connect it to your own existing Microsoft account. We will go and see how it works. From CloudUp Security, try now. Try it now, and you can sign up to your demo. From in the sign up, you will see that you can use, okay, in this case, I already have a subscription, but you can again create a new account from a new trial, or you can decide to connect one to your environment. Let's see in the screenshot. This is how it will look when you start a new trial, and then you can add it either to your existing account or sign up for a new one. You will confirm your order, again, free trial, 30 days, and then we will need to assign licenses. How do we assign licenses? I will walk you through that. From the admin panel of portal.office.com, you go into admin, then from admin, billing subscriptions, and you must have at least one assigned license before you access CloudUp Security. Preferably the global admin, the admin that will use a trial. So please do not forget to assign the trial before logging in. As soon as you assign a trial, you will have a CloudUp Security link here under the admin panels in your Office portal. From here, you can go directly into the CloudUp Security portal, and you're good to go. You have a CloudUp Security trial. This is open for anyone. You can do it now, you can do it tomorrow, and follow the guide. We will now do an overview of the portal. The portal starts with the process that Asaf showed you earlier, starting with discover, investigate, control, and protect by viewing alerts and protecting your environment, responding to them. Let's start with the dashboard. The dashboard will show you all of the applications that you have, all of your open alerts, and all of the policies that you have configured in your environment, so you can monitor them. We will go and see how can we bootstrap and create these alerts, these policies today. Discover contains all of the discovery functionality, everything end-to-end. The applications, the users, the IP addresses. We will have a deep dive into that in the discovery section. Investigate shows you all of your sanctioned environment. It means that you have a visibility into all of the activities in your cloud instance. Again, using the API connectors that we mentioned, you get full visibility no matter where someone accesses the app. And you have full visibility into your data, meaning all of the files in your cloud environment and the ability to start the same process. So investigate, create control, and protect. We'll see that step by step. Control have all of the policies that you have put in place in your environment. It starts with an empty control and empty list of policies. And in order to help you start, we have a list of dozens of templates from which you can start and create new policies that match your expectation from the product, from what you, the value you want to get from the product. A lot of suggestion, and we will walk through that soon. Alerts shows you everything that is wrong with your environment, everything that you wanted to be alerted on, everything that is in violation with your policies, everything that is anomalous to your environment, everything funnels to that alerts panel. This is, in the end, this is your control panel. This is where you go every day and see the new alerts that are in order to remediate and respond to new threats that are found in your environment or new violations. In terms of settings, let's have a quick view of that. All of the settings are derived automatically from your Office portal, okay, from your Microsoft account. So you can read and see what are the domains, what is the tenant name, and so on. In terms of access to the portal, global admins will have access to the portal, but you can add and invite more users by using the Manage Admin Access Panel. I will pause here for a second for any questions on the portal, on the environment. Okay, great. So we created a trial. We have reviewed the portal, and now let's go to the first step, how to create a discovery report. The discovery report is very simple to actually apply. There are two ways to upload logs into the console. The first one is using a manual upload. Just get the logs, upload them to the console, and get an immediate report on the files, the logs that you have uploaded. This is the best way to start. It takes 5 minutes to complete the process. We'll see it here. Once you have seen the value from the discovery, from the manual, you can move into a continuous upload. This will allow you to continuously monitor all of your networks, all of the logs that you funnel into CloudOps Security, and gain visibility into the alerting functionality, into additional alerts that starts from your baseline. Because once you have continuous uploads, we can create the baseline and alert you when something new happens in your environment. We will see how it works in action. The discovery, to start the discovery process, you go to upload logs, you choose a name, let's say Thursday's report, enter a description, optional, and select one of the data sources that are here. As I mentioned, all of the leading network appliances, all of the ones are already supported. You can select one of them, and you have here two yellow bars. The first one will show you what is the expected format from the logs. This is what we will parse. So you can match it against the logs that you have in case you have funky long log style and you have fields that are missing or additional fields. You can see that this is what we expect and this is what will be parsed. In addition, you can see that this data contains partial information. We are using all of the available information to perform cloud discovery, but not all of the logs contain this information. So in some cases, for example, firewalls don't contain the usernames sometimes. So if you don't have the usernames, we will not be able to provide username visibility in the discovery process. This yellow bar mentions, and you can follow this link to see exactly what is supported on each one of the network appliances, so you will know what to expect once you complete that process. You select the logs, click on create, and then the discovery process begins. You can track the status of all of your actions in the portal in the governance log. And let's take a second to review that governance log. The governance log contains all of the actions that you performed in the portal and provides you a status. So if you uploaded a log file, now you can see exactly what is the status. Choose Microsoft Cloud Ops Security. And you can see that I have uploaded a file. This is successful. And you can see additional information. This is the status log of the system. So you can track whether it's pending and so on. If you upload numerous files, so you can see all of your snapshot reports and their status from this page. So you can see exactly if you uploaded one from one site and another log file from another site. You can go here and see all of the status. When it is ready, you will have access to that report. This is the Cloud Discovery report. It provides you with full visibility into how many apps were discovered, users, IP addresses, application categories, and discovered apps, users, IP addresses, and we will work through some of the workflows around that later on in the demo. But by uploading the logs and having a completed report, you're done. You completed your first step of cloud discovery. Any questions around the first step? Great. The other alternative is to upload discovery logs automatically. This means that you will funnel all of the logs from your network appliances to a machine that we provide you with, a log collector, and that log collector will compress and upload it onwards to CloudApp Security. This allows you to automate the process and have the continuous discovery happening all of the time. How does it work? Again, very simple. I will show you in the portal. Under discovery settings, you go to upload logs automatically. To this section, we can add all of the network appliances that we want to automate the logs from. So let's say I have firewall in Atlanta. I select again the source type. I select the time zone. If I have different time zones and I want to sync all of the logs, you can select what is the time zone. Receiver type is a protocol by which you want to push the logs. Is it by FTP? Is it by syslog? We support both. And we also, why is it important? Because we also support numerous appliances going to the same log collector. So it's a very scalable architecture that allows you to plan for any form of networks. So, and we'll see how it works in a second. Great, so I added a data source. Next step, going to log collectors. I'm adding a log collector. The log collector is a machine, and you need a configuration for it. We need to say exactly what data sources will be funneled through that log collector in order to assign the proper ports. For example, if I'm having 5 devices pushing logs over syslog, you want to know which port to push each device to. So you name your port and your log collector, ATL log collector, and the data sources that you funnel through that log collector, and then you update. As soon as I update, there is a configuration file that is created dynamically, and you can then download the Hyper-V machine and follow this configuration guide in order to deploy the machine itself. We will not go through that process now fully, but I do urge you, if you need it, additional assistance, we have a video linked from that, from the title of that presentation, about how to do that end to end. It's a 4 minutes video that does the complete deployment from start to end. So again, very simple process of 4 minutes. In the video, you will see how we download the machine, we connect to it via SSH using the password that the default password that was given, and run a collector config that allows us to configure all of the network parameters for that specific appliance, if you want it to go through a proxy, if you want it to go through a specific port, DNS, and so on. And then you validate by going to the governance log and seeing the logs that are being uploaded automatically. Let's discuss about the architecture for a second to understand what happens as soon as we push the logs. We funnel the logs either manually or automatically from either FTP, syslog, through log collectors. You can have any number of log collectors, any number of network appliances connected to each log collector. So if you have 2 sites, New York and London, you can have 2 log collectors on each, and you don't need to overload your networks. You can have a dedicated log collector for each site. Once it reaches CloudApp Security, we will parse the logs. We have seen that the parsers are taken from the list of supported devices, and you can see exactly what is the expected format. So this is the part where the log parser will work as explained in the portal. The next step, we do a log analysis. The log analysis allows us to take all of the logs and match them against our CloudApp catalog of more than 13,000 applications. The 13,000 applications are continuously expanding. We have a team of analysts that is doing the research, identifies new cloud applications, add more than 60 risk scores to each one of them, and then you get this visibility that you need into your cloud environment. So as soon as we complete this match, we do the aggregations into the dashboard, and then it is ready in your portal. This was the first step. Next step is to connect an app via an API. Again, I will show you today that it takes less than a minute to do. Usually it takes 10 minutes to find the right admin to connect the app. So from the portal, you go to investigate sanctioned apps. The sanctioned apps will now review all of the applications that are connected to your environment today. So you can see that I've connected to that environment Box and Office 365. You can see the green status because as I uploaded the page, we checked that all of the apps are connected and we checked the status of each one of the connectors. You can go and add a new connector by clicking on Connect an App and then Salesforce, for example. Salesforce, you will see each application needs another way to connect to using the API. But it usually no more than three simple steps. First, in this case, you just follow this link. Follow this link will actually lead you into Salesforce. This is where you need a Salesforce admin to provide access to Cloud App Security into your Salesforce environment. This is the same thing with Office, with Box, with Google Drive, with Okta. All of the applications that we support today work that way using the APIs. As soon as I'm logging in as one of my administrators, this will provide Cloud App Security the access that we need in order to secure that specific instance and will take you back into the portal. In that portal, you will see a page, you will see a dialog that looks like that. You can test the API, and when you click on Test API, we will check each one of the APIs that we are using to make sure that we have full access to what is needed in order to secure your environment. Once it's green, you're good to go. Three things happen. You see all of your accounts, you see all of the files, and all of the activity logs that comes from that specific application. By completing that on any number of apps you want to connect, and again, you can connect any number of apps in the same subscription. You don't need to add more licenses if you have the same, if you want to add more applications, everything in one.
How many apps are supported?
There are more than 10 app connectors that are supported today, so we can go to the list. Everything is documented in TechNet as well. We support, as we mentioned, Microsoft and non-Microsoft applications, and we're continuously adding based on demand. So, additional questions? So, we do not maintain a password. What you provide us is an app token as an application. We don't own the user's password at any point. We don't keep that. We don't save that. What you do grant us is you grant Microsoft access to your instance to pull the proper APIs based on the permissions that you've given. So like, if you say, like any app that you connect and you click, yeah, access to my profile and so on, so this is exactly the same process. So in Microsoft, you can assign each Office tenant with a single Cloud App Security tenant because we are part of Office 365. It's like Azure Active Directory. So you spin off, if you have an Office tenant, you can have one instance of Cloud App Security. If you want to support additional Office tenant, you can spin off more, you can assign more. Are you referring to the discovery piece?
Yes.
So in the discovery piece, no, you cannot do that today. It's only per app. It allows you visibility into application and ability to sanction. We will go through that in a second. So each Office 365 comes with a single AAD, with a single Cloud App Security. So we are all based, the access to the portal I have not mentioned. Absolutely. You can add any, you don't need to manage, you don't need to federate Salesforce to AD, it is completely out of bound. You can do that, no problem. Any other question? Okay, thank you. So we have completed this step of sanctioning an app. By the end of this phase, you are good to go. You connected all of the sources that you need. We have the discovery set up, and we have the app connectors set up. The next step, and just I mentioned regarding the architecture, I already mentioned it, but I will review it again. All of the app connectors are funneling through an app connector manager. We maintain a list of files, activities, and accounts, and each we are using the APIs to pull this information from the different apps that you connected to. This gives you the single pane of glass that you need to support all of your cloud applications through Cloud App Security. Your admin doesn't need to know exactly where are all the files in Salesforce and where are all the files in Box and where are all the files in OneDrive. We give you a single pane of glass for that. Same thing for the activity logs and so on. At this point, we are ready to set the policies. We will configure two sample policies before we dive into the complicated scenarios. The first one is an activity policy. So going to policies, you can see that you have five different policies in place. Activity policy allows you to create alerts, detections, on specific activities that you want to be alerted on. For example, we can take from one of the templates, we can take mass download by a single user. I will apply the template, and then I have all of the parameters that are suggested by default, and you can tweak them, you can change them, you can edit. For example, each alert, so policy, we start with the template, policy name, the description, severity, so you can see, you can select that in the alerts, category, you can categorize all of the alerts that you create into one of these categories. This means that you can later on view that in the alerts, alerts related to DLP, for example, alerts related to access control, to privileged accounts, and so on. So this allows you to categorize. You can choose whether you want to alert on a single activity or perform a repeated activity alert. Since we created an alert on mass download, we will simply create, we will provide the number of repeated activities, in what time frame, and we will be alerted as soon as this happens. So if a user downloads 30 files, in less than 5 minutes, we will be alerted on it. What's nice about this alert is that it will work across your cloud environment. So if you connected Box and Office 365, you will be alerted on both from the same alert. You don't need to configure another alert again for Box. You just add more applications and you get the same functionality, the single pane of glass that you need. Now, you can configure different alerts. In the alerts, you can configure an email, or you can use a text message. You can provide both, or you can just get an alert in the portal. You can save these settings and then apply it later on additional alerts. If you have your SOC team email address and you want to make sure that every alert is sent there, so you can save and reapply again. The governance allows you to notify the user. Governance actions are all the things that you are doing once a violation had happened. Since this is an activity policy, the user is the main entity here. So we can alert the user that something bad happened with their account, or we can take an action. For example, suspend the user until we investigate that. You can use the filters. You can use the edit filters in order to make a more granular policy. And we will see how it works in the detailed demo, but you can add any one of these filters to have a more granular policy set in place if you want to exclude, to add, to filter based on location, on IP addresses, on user groups, and so on. So it's very easy to add more filters and customize this alert only to the ones, only to the alerts that you want to have. The next step will be to create a file policy. File policy works the same way. You have all of the files in your environment. Let's select a template, let's say PCI. This alert, for example, this policy, for example, will alert me when there is a credit card information found in my cloud drive. Now, how does it work? I have, again, the ability to filter all of the files that I want to scan. So I can go into the edit and preview results and add more filters. For example, I can add one of the access level filters. I can add filters on who is the owner, who is it collaborated with, what file types, extensions, and so on. I can easily set up an alert, for example, PST files shared publicly through my cloud drive. Simple, very simple process, and we will have that in a second. As soon as you select your filters, you can now select folders on which it applies and do not apply. So you can filter, for example, only you can select only files located in certain folders or all of the files that are not in certain folders. For example, if you have a folder that is dedicated for finance information, so you can exclude that, or site, you can exclude that and filter all of the rest. This section allows you to actually inspect the contents of the file using one of the canned policies that you are familiar with from Office 365, maybe, but through using one of these canned policies or supplying your own regular expression or substring search. You can select the number of matches that you want to be alerted on. For example, alert me only if you find five or more violations of this type. And again, alerts and governance actions. Governance action in files, they are corresponding to the file that is found to be violating this policy. So it means that you can take the file, for example, and quarantine it. You can remove public sharing for it. You can notify the owner. You can do all of these actions based on the cloud provider that you are using and apply immediate control on it. So this gives you the ability to say, if this happens, I want an automated response to it. Naturally, you can select to notify the user, which won't take any action on the file, but will notify the user that there is a violation with their cloud drive. Any questions on the file policy?
Yeah, good question. Would you be able to scan existing contacts, say, within Box, and if there was a shared link, fire that link?
Yes, absolutely. I can demo that in a second. Yeah, absolutely. So as soon as we create a policy, and we will use one of my previous policies, they are all of the violations are aggregated in a single view location. So, for example, I created this policy, and this creates a report of all of the existing violations for the admin from the portal. In the report, you can inspect each one of the files, each one of the violations, file that is in violation with that policy, and you can investigate. How do you investigate? You can investigate, for example, where is it located? You can investigate what are the matches. You can investigate who are the collaborators that have access to it. In this case, we see that this is using a shared link, which is public, meaning there is a link out there that anyone is accessible to without authenticating themselves. You can click on that and actually use that public link in order to see that yourself. As soon as you verify if there is a violation or not, if it is a violation, if it is not a violation, you can authorize this by simply clicking on the authorize button. However, if you want to take an action, again, we have the right bar in order to take an immediate action on the file. Same actions that you can automate, you can now take manually as soon as you see this violation. The bar also allows you to do an advanced investigation flow. It allows you to click on related activities, for example, and then Cloud App Security will go throughout your audit log in order to find the activities that pertain to this specific file. So you can have a really complete audit trail on that file and what happened and why, who touched it and who downloaded it, and so on. In addition to the report that we've seen, you will be notified using an alert. So you can use the alert as a trigger to go back to the report and review that. The process is always the same. You create a policy, you get a report, plus the alert mechanisms that you decided to have, and then you can go back and investigate. Any additional questions? Yeah? So great question. As soon as you connect us, Cloud App Security keeps logs for 6 months, a complete audit log. However, as soon as you connect us, we try to get the logs in the past, so you will see around 30 days of activity from the day you connected us, and then onward the 6 months. So there are. So are you saying if it is possible to have like a 1 year logs? No. So today it's 6 months that you cannot change. Can you repeat the question? Great. So regarding RMS, what we do have, and I will show it later in the demo, is the integration between us and Azure Information Protection in order to read the shared labels. So I will get there in the demo in a second, and so I will answer that later on.
Can I use the same content inspection policy that I set up in Azure Information Protection?
Yes. So what will happen here is as soon as you are using, and I'll get there again with Azure Information Protection, but as soon as you configure policies with Azure Information Protection, you can stamp a label into the file. As soon as you stamp a label into the file, we can read it from any cloud application that you are using and extend the protection that you are using onward to that cloud application. Mm-hmm. So regarding shared labels, we do support this. Regarding the DLP, so we don't copy policies from each other. We are just sharing the labels. Moving forward, you will be able to use Azure Information Protection to label all of the files, which will be the strong capabilities, because the label will be kept in the file itself and not only automatically and not only in Cloud App Security. So this gives you a real protection over each file. And this is where we are going with the products. No. If you are using your own keys, we are not able to decrypt. No. But it will show up as a scanned file. We will show you that we couldn't scan the file due to encryption. Great. Let's move forward. So activity and anomaly, we discussed how do we create an activity policy. We funnel all of the logs from your cloud applications to Cloud App Security. There we are doing two things. First, we allow you to create your own detection on that. Second, we baseline your entire environment and we detect anomalies for you. So we can alert you when something suspicious goes, and you can immediately respond to that. So the unknown and the known, you will be alerted on that using these two mechanisms. With respect to files, and this maybe answers some of the questions that you had today, all of the files are, we detect every file that is created in your cloud environment. If you have configured a content inspection policy, then we push it into the scan queue. The scan queue will match it against all of the policies that you have put in place, and we will alert you if we found a match. Okay? So this is the process where it goes. Now, once we have established, we have done these four simple steps of create a trial, we uploaded discovery logs, we also connected an application and applied two policies, activity and file, on the data that we gather from these applications. This is all you need in order to bootstrap your environment, and now we can go into how to manage it continuously. So with discovery, let's see the full demo, the full flow of discovery and how we recommend working with that. So we uploaded the snapshot report. This is what you will get. I do recommend to work on a category-based analysis. Why is it so important? The main goal for you as an IT is to have as much green as possible on this dashboard. What does it mean, as much green? Let's say you are rolling out a cloud storage application, let's say OneDrive. You want to make sure that all of the other cloud drives that are being used and are not managed by you as an IT are declining in use, because you want to own the data, you want to control the data of the organization, and you are doing that through your sanctioned applications, which in this case is OneDrive. So how do you do that? We can have an overview per category of all of the cloud storage applications. In this case, we see that Box and OneDrive are the top cloud application. Since I deployed these two in this environment, you can see that they are already in green because I connected both Box and OneDrive, and I can see the data. So it makes sense for me that these two account for the majority of the traffic. Now let's see, what are the other applications are there? So we can dive into all of the applications by clicking on cloud storage, and then have the full visibility into not only the names of the applications and the amount of traffic that we saw from the logs that you have uploaded, but also to the risk scores. And the risk scores are the things that will allow you to understand whether this requires your immediate attention, is it something that is risky to your organization and you need to take action on, or it's something that you can sanction, you don't own that, but you can sanction in your organization for now. Let's review how the risk scores looks like. So, general information about the service provider, security controls. What security controls does this service provide you as an admin to protect your employees' data as they are using this application? So, do they provide an audit trail? Do they provide user role access, and so on? Compliance, all the compliance and certificate that this service has shown to have. And based on that, you can take a simple decision of either sanction or unsanction. If I unsanction this app, it is added to my list of unsanctioned applications. What do I do with that list of unsanctioned applications? So you can either leave it as these are all the cloud storage unsanctioned applications. Let's remove, and I unsanctioned another two online meeting applications. As soon as I have the list of all of my unsanctioned applications, I can use the export option in order to export the domains, and each app can be associated with a list of domains. It's not a one-to-one match. Take all of the domains and, for example, block it in my network appliances. So if you feel that this is a step and you want to avoid this application from being used in your environment, since it's risky, since you don't want it to happen, you can do that. But you also can click on the application and investigate it, who is using it and why. And I think that this is one of the critical things that we want to do, because we want to understand whether there is a business justification for this application or not. Maybe there is, and you want to know about it as an IT, right? You want to know that this is happening and you want to take an action. And maybe they could merge into one of your sanctioned cloud applications and there is no business justification. So this is exactly the process that you can do here based on each category. For online meetings, for cloud drives, for CRMs, and we have over 50 categories. This is a way that you can slowly manage your environment get to know what are the, what is your cloud environment, investigate it, and take ownership on it. The next step is to create the alerts on discovery. And as soon as you can continuously, finally, as soon as you do continuous upload of the logs, you can now set a baseline and trigger new alerts. Let's see some of these cool alerts that you can configure. For example, app discovery policies. You can create alerts on new applications that are being used today in your environment. For example, you can use an alert just to alert you that there is a new popular app. It's a cool alert. If you see more than 50 users using a new app, or you can configure the number, just alert me on that. So this is a simple one. You can create also an alert of a new upload volume app. So if I'm seeing an application that there is more than X megabytes per day going to that application, upload stream, I want to be alerted on it because I'm losing data. I'm losing data from my organization to an application that I am not aware of. This is a very powerful alert, very simple one, and a very powerful one. You can also use this mechanism in order to configure alerts based on your compliance and regulations. So let's see the filters in this case. We have seen that we have all of the filters going, all of the applications here, and I've selected CRM and a number of compliances that are a must-have for many organizations. For example, I can alert me when there is a CRM that is not SOC 2, not ISO, and not HIPAA, and not other compliances. So this gives you a very powerful capability to customize the risk score. And for example, data center, you can even restrict it to have a data center only in a specific location. So you can play with the factors and create an alert when a new application that doesn't meet these requirements is being found. So you can see in the catalog that we do all sorts of regulations and compliances, not only American. We automate it from different sources. So we have a cloud of manual analysts that go and reach out to these services and find out. We also connect to the different repositories that tell us these are all the compliance services with FedRAMP, for example, with PCI, right? So we do it for numerous sources, and you get the final discovery dashboard using that. Great. So we've been through the discovery process. We created an alert, but there is another sort of alert that we can create, and this is an alert on anomalous behavior in the cloud. Let's say you have reviewed ForShared, and you've seen that it is used less than 1 megabyte per day. But what happens if the same users that uploaded 1 megabyte per day for that application uploads 1 gigabyte on a clear day? So you want to be alerted that there is a baseline and it was breached, and this is something that you want to know about. So you can create an alert, which is a discovery anomaly policy that we will alert you on that for sort of activities. Moving forward into information protection. And I will show you the integration with Azure Information Protection right now for those who asked. So you can see that in the portal, under files, you can see all of the files that exist in your cloud environment. But we are also integrating with the classification label that Azure Information Protection embeds into the file and reads that into your environment. This means that you can see all of the files that not only they are publicly shared, but also you can have a query on all of the files that are confidential because you configure, you have this information protection label and are publicly shared. This is a very powerful tool that allows you to quantify the risk of your cloud drive, how much confidential files am I sharing publicly, and with a single click, new policy from search, to create a policy that will alert you when this happens and auto-remediates, because I can remove the shared link as soon as the link is created to that confidential file and prevent anyone from accessing it. So we can complete the whole flow with a single policy using that mechanism. Any question on the file policy? Okay, great. Lastly, the ability to do threat detection. Threat detection, so we discussed about the activity log and the ability to configure alerts, canned alerts. However, we have a list of risk of different filters that you can use, for example, IP addresses and so on, in order to customize your alert. I want to show you now how to customize your environment to cater for your internal and internal networks and differentiate all of the network traffic, all of the traffic that comes from your network from all of the traffic that comes off-premise. So if you go to IP address groups, you will have the ability to add new ranges. Once you add a new range, you can mark it either, you can categorize either as administrative, as internal, as risky, as your VPN, and then all of the logs in your environment will be tagged, will be labeled with this category. So it means that you can then go and create simple policies like show me all of the administrative activity that is not coming from my, all of the administrative activity, let's say in a specific application, that is not coming from my administrative networks. Since I've not configured anything, this showed me the two activities that we've seen earlier. And this will alert you as soon as one of these activities happen. So we see that there are two activities. Since I have not marked anyone, I can see that these are not allowed and can go and use again the new policy from search in order to create an alert once there is an admin activity that comes outside of my authorized network. Very powerful capability, and it takes, again, minutes to set up. Any questions on the activity policies? Yeah. So these are the IPs as a cloud provider sees them. So these are public IPs, right? So if you have your proxy or stuff, you can add that. Great. So in terms of the anomaly, you can go back to the policies, and I do want to have a deep dive into the configuration of the anomaly detection policy. So in the anomaly detection, we do monitor, and I want to show you a second, we do monitor all of the different factors that account for your cloud environment. We monitor factors like administrative activity, failed logons, mess download. And you can see all of the risk factors here. So the ones that we mentioned, but you can also customize your anomaly policies. So it means, and this is what we see many customers do, you can create a policy for your entire organization and select a very high, alert me only on very high anomalies, high risk anomalies. However, what you also can do is to configure this policy only to, for example, selected activities by filtering on groups that are only on high-value users, for example, or only on office administrators. So you can have your groups and just focus your alerts on these specific high-value users and have a very... and then set the risk score, the base risk score to alert on a very low, so you can really monitor these high-value users for anything anomalous that happens with their account. So you can customize and add your anomalies. The anomalies will surface and will provide you with the activity log and with the session that is assigned to that specific anomaly, and this will allow you to go back to the activity log and investigate what did the user do. Where did it come from? And then again, have more granular detections and alerts in the next time. I do want to pause here for a second so we can see one of the coming soon features. But before that, any questions on the console that you've seen? Yeah. So we will get there, I think, in the end. But it's $5 per user per user, or you can have it as part of the EMS bundle, as we mentioned. User is licensed in Office 365. It's exactly like Office 365 users. We will talk about it later. So for the in-session controls. And what we have seen here is based only on the discovery logs and the API connectors. All of this functionality out of the box while doing two simple steps out of band. Your users won't know that this has ever happened. However, we also about to provide a capability to have in-session control into the sanctioned cloud applications. And I do want to show you how can you do that. So the biggest problem about accessing sanctioned cloud applications is that we need to differentiate between our managed trusted environment and all of the untrusted environment. Untrusted environment are unmanaged devices, unmanaged networks, everything that is coming from an unknown location that you do not trust. As you are moving into your cloud applications, you are trusting your cloud, you are securing it, and you want to make sure that lower trust requests are denied. How do you do that? So you can do that at the front door with Azure Active Directory and just prevent logging. But sometimes you want to have deeper controls using the in-session controls. You want to be able to say, okay, this is an unmanaged device, so I will prevent it from downloading confidential files into this unmanaged device, but everything else, I want the user to be productive and I want the user to have access to it. I will show you now a demo of how it works. And I will explain as it goes. We see two browsers here. The browser on the left is an Edge browser, and the browser to the right is an Internet Explorer one. Both of the browsers are on the same machine. They're using the same IP, and I'm going to access the same resource, Salesforce, using the same user, Richard. So we are starting with the same request. I'm using Azure Active Directory to access Salesforce. And as soon as I log in, I have a request from the browser to confirm a device. This is our in-session control component. It will ask you from the user to authenticate the device before proceeding to the application. The first one, I can decide to accept and provide the certificate, or I can decide to deny, which means that I will not be identified as a managed device. On the Edge browser, I provided the certificate. On the Internet Explorer, on the right one, I did not. I'm accessing Salesforce. Everything looks the same for both applications. I have two files. The first one is a non-confidential one, and the second one is a confidential one. When I try to download the files from the managed device, I have full access to it. In order to identify what is confidential and what is not, we are leveraging Azure Information Protection labels. Again, so every file that is classified by one of your employees will go through that process. The confidential file is downloaded. It contains very sensitive customer information, but I'm working from a managed security environment, hence I allow this request to continue. On the flip side, when I do this, I have the same experience from the unmanaged device, things should look different. The non-confidential file will be downloaded as expected because there is no harm in that. It was downloaded successfully, but when I try to access the confidential file, you will see that Cloud App Security injects an in-browser notification that tells you that the download was blocked. Everything works the same, but this transaction is denied. It means that you are not able to proceed. You cannot download this, and you can customize your message to your users saying why was it denied. please use a managed device in order to access. This is highly confidential information. We protect the users from doing mistakes. We protect the users from downloading it to a device and losing control over this data. This is a very powerful capability that when we look at that from the admin perspective, you will see that it provides you with full visibility that you didn't have until today. From the portal, that you are now should be very familiar with it, you will have the activity log, but you will have additional logs. The logs that were created by the proxy. You can see that there are two logon requests. The first logon, both of them, by the way, came from Richard on Salesforce from the same IP address because we use the same device to connect. However, you can see that the two browsers exemplified another level of trust. On the edge device, the device is considered a managed device because it could show the certificate that this is a company-issued device that is monitored and compliant. Therefore, it could bypass the proxy. The second one was actually redirected to the proxy because it is unmanaged. I had a policy in place saying if this is an unmanaged device, route it to the proxy. Unmanaged can be by network, by users, by client certificates. But then I also get a full audit trail of what this limited session user had done. In the audit trail, I can see the two downloads, and I can see the blocked download that was blocked since the file was confidential. I had a policy in place that blocked confidential files from being uploaded there. So with this, I want to end the demo part. This capability will be coming in the next quarters, so stay tuned and will be part of your Cloud App Security. We have very little time, so maybe we can take the questions afterwards. So let's have a technical overview later. We have very few minutes. Thank you.
All right, so thank you, Inan. We've gotten a really deep dive. Hopefully, you guys have had almost all of your questions answered. Either way, we'll be here at the end of the session for a few minutes off stage if you want to have a couple of conversations. I heard a pricing question. Since both of us are in engineering, we can say anything we want about pricing, and it doesn't actually hold true. So I can at least guide you towards that. We do understand how it works. It's something that you negotiate with your account team or you work with our marketing counterparts. Again, overall, you saw the framework. The framework held throughout the entire session, right? You discover, you investigate, you understand what you have, then you apply controls, and then you can take various sets of actions. You can take non-intrusive actions where the user will never know, where even your other admins will never know. There'll be a set of alerts. Only the ones that have access to our portal will see that. Only the ones that you want to send those alerts will see that. So in case in large organizations, a lot of our customers have a CISO as well as a CISO-specific IT organization focusing on security as opposed to messaging or productivity. So you can separate it. At the same time, we have the flexibility to coalesce those together. And we've shown you all of those items, including the in-session control, which, again, it's something we are literally this week putting in private preview and are going to slowly roll it out over the coming quarters. If you are interested in getting into our private preview, talk to one of us. We'll work with you. The deal that I make with customers is you have to try our product. You have to give us feedback on an ongoing basis. If you just want to get use of it, feel free to use the trial setup. Feel free to play with it, ask the questions on the forums, et cetera. If you want to have the private preview experience, we need to have a two-way dialogue. We want your feedback. We want the scenarios that you're interested in. And maybe later on, we can even do things like case studies and PR quotes. But again, I'll leave that to my marketing counterparts. So with that, please remember to take a look at cloudappsecurity.com. It'll guide you to all of our videos. There's a number of videos there. There's a number of white papers, as well as the trial itself. You can do a self-service 30-day trial. Don't forget to rate the session, give us feedback. That's the only way we can get better. Thank you, everybody.